Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Sunday night, the 20th of January. We're talking about same-sex marriage, taking your phone calls, taking your email. Frank Turek is our guest. Now, we're giving away to the best callers and emailers a copy of this pamphlet I've written called Same-Sex Marriage, Right or Wrong, 1-800-730-2727. If you get a busy signal, which you might be right now, keep trying because we're going to be freeing up the phone lines in just about 30 seconds. 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Frank Turek is our guest, founder and president of crossexamine.org, co-author of the book Legislating Morality, and author of an article in the Christian Research Journal titled Protecting America's Immune System, A Reasonable Argument Against Homosexual Marriage. Frank, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, thanks. And if listeners want to kind of download the article, kind of an updated version of it, they can go to impactapologetics.com. That's impactapologetics.com. Click on freebies, and there's a PDF of the article up there, so they can get all these arguments in written form.
Thank you very much. Let's see what Gary has to say in Kansas City. He listens on KCCV. Gary, thanks for waiting.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on. The comment I had to make was, because my parents were born-again believers, didn't automatically make me a born-again believer. And over the period of years, I did choose to become a born-again believer. And if you read in Romans chapter 13, there's a, it specifies in very plainly the law enforcement and how the government should conduct itself. And my feelings are very strongly, once I become a born-again believer, I took that very seriously. But I had never, in all the years that I was in law enforcement, I had never, if what they're saying, they're trying to justify their actions, why then when I chased a burglar he ran, or when I worked drugs, drug addicts ran? And I believe in my heart the reason they know what they're doing is wrong, but they just, they're choosing not to want to accept the Word of God. And for the young man who said he didn't take the Bible literally, how can one go through and say, ooh, boy, that sort of hurts me. I'm going to tear that page out.
All right, Gary, thank you very much. Frank, let's talk a bit about Romans 13, since he raises it, where Paul outlines in a very basic form the function of government in encouraging good and restraining evil. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, that's what government's supposed to do, is encourage good and restrain evil. And that's why governments make laws, to try and protect innocent people from harm. And most laws that the government passes are laws to restrain evil, but there are a few that promote good. And it turns out the marriage laws are kind of do both. They encourage good, because getting married and having kids inside of marriage is good for society, regardless, again, of what you believe religiously. But it also restrains evil, because if you encourage marriage, then you get less and less of these issues we've been talking about, like welfare and abused children and health problems and those types of things. So marriage is the reason that the article references our national immune system, is because marriage is our national immune system. When our marriages are strong, our country is strong. When our marriages are weak, our country is weak. And marriage has been weakened not only through these incursions into marriage by homosexuals, but it's really been weakened by heterosexuals. And homosexuals have a point. And I use that term advisedly, homosexuals, people who have a desire to engage in homosexual behavior. They have a point when they say that heterosexuals have degraded marriage. We have. But that is not an argument for same-sex marriage. In fact, it's an argument against it. Because when same-sex marriage proponents say, look, you guys have already blown marriage because you've liberalized divorce laws, we say, you know, you're right. So let's not liberalize them further. Let's tighten up divorce laws. And that does not mean legalizing same-sex marriage. It means going the other way.
Before we go to this next caller, someone, I was thinking during Gary's call, someone might say, are you suggesting, when we talk about kind of making this rational case against homosexual marriage, are you suggesting that we return to the days when homosexual behavior itself was illegal.
Well, I think the Constitution certainly permits states to make laws against homosexual behavior. It wasn't until Lawrence v. Texas in 2003, which was sort of the homosexuals' Roe v. Wade, where the federal government or the Supreme Court said states can no longer proscribe laws that said same-sex marriage, or I should say that said homosexuality, was illegal. Now, we can argue all day as to whether or not anti-sodomy laws were effective or not. That's not the point. The point is do the states have a right, and would it be, or do they have the right to have these anti-sodomy laws? And in 1986, the Supreme Court said, of course they do. We've had them for years in Bowers v. Hartwick. 17 years or so later, in Lawrence versus Texas, somehow the Supreme Court decides, well, the Constitution has changed without an amendment process. We'll change it and say, no, now states cannot make laws against sodomy.
I want to come back to that Lawrence v. Texas here in just a minute. Lisa in Midlothian, Illinois, is listening on WYLL. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, sir. How are you?
Very well. What's your question?
Okay, I have comments. I agree with every tenet your guest is making, but I'm especially disturbed about children entering into these same-sex unions. And I believe that's how they're going to try to legitimize those unions. And outlook being, I guess, kind of forced to be taught in public school. And I find that very disturbing. My last comment would be that I don't believe that sexual preference is an identity, and it seems we already have hate crimes in place, but this group that comprises maybe 3 or 4% of the population is trying to ask for a special protection based on their behavior and not through any I'm losing my thought, but
I think we got your point, Lisa. In fact, you've made several points that I'd like Frank to respond to. First of all, we've got same-sex adoption or surrogacy or artificial insemination. Children now in same-sex, quote-unquote, families. Do you share Lisa's concern?
Yeah, as I mentioned before, preferential adoption will be coming to same-sex couples over heterosexual couples. In effect, children will be treated as trophies that will validate the same-sex relationship. That is a huge problem, and it's not something that we ought to do. We ought to put children in traditional marriage homes because that is the best home for the child. We ought not legitimize a same-sex relationship by giving that relationship children. Children ought to go to married couples.
Lisa also mentioned the 2 or 3% of the population, and that, of course, would be strongly contested by advocates of homosexuality or gay marriage. What do you know about the real percentages that we're talking about in terms of who's really got a dog in this race?
Well, the Sex in the America study, which was done in 1994 by the University of Chicago, showed that the percentage is somewhere between 3 and 4%. And it decreases dramatically once you get over the age of 59, which is telling us one of two things. Either homosexuals are changing their orientation when they get past the age of 59, which is something, of course, the homosexual community says, we can't do it, or they're dying in dramatic numbers after the age of 59.
Okay, so why is it then, with only about 30 seconds here, why is it then that if we're only talking about 3 or 4% of the population who actually have something at stake in the debate over same-sex marriage, why does it seem like it's such a bigger issue for the general population?
Because the same-sex folks, they think it's their identity, and they don't have kids like the rest of America has kids. They have a lot of time on their hands, and their issue to try and validate their behavior is to try and get same-sex marriage legalized, because if it does, it will validate homosexuality. So they spend an inordinate amount of time trying to politically move the ball forward when the rest of middle America is trying to put food on the table for their kids and trying to take care of their families.
Frank Turek is our guest. We're talking about same-sex marriage. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. A couple phone lines are open, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We'll go straight back to the phones on the other side of the break, 1-800-730-2727, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Best callers and emailers get a copy of this pamphlet, Same-Sex Marriage, Right or Wrong. We'll be right back. Here's Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Will Whedon, on why you should support LCMS World Relief.
LCMS World Relief is so important because it gives flesh to the love that Christ commands us to have. I'm reminded of the words from 1 John, where the apostle wrote, "Little children, let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed and in truth." And when you support LCMS World Relief, that is precisely what you're doing. You're loving in deed and in truth. You're providing food for the hungry and shelter for the homeless and clothing for the naked. It's a way that the love of Christ is actually incarnate and touches these people's lives, and it's just a wonderful thing.
For more information about LCMS World Relief, look for their logo at our website, issuesetc.org, or call them, area code 314-996-1683, 314-996-1683, LCMS World Relief.
Where Christianity meets culture. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. has its supporters.
I just want to say that I really like your show. It's really helped me. I'm currently in my preparation to enter Concordia Seminary, and this show, I think, has really helped me with my progress. So I just want to say thanks and keep it up.
We also have our share of detractors.
This message that you're sending out is not the message that God wants the people to hear. You don't have a clue as to what he wants. You are all sinners, and you shall rot for eternity for this. You people are insane. Just burn in hell.
That's exactly why we have the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. Agree or disagree with something you've heard? Call the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. The Issues Etc. listener comment line, available for your comments, positive and negative, 24/7, 314-505-7825. Well, in a way, we're talking a lot tonight about families and about the strength of the family, because marriage is merely part of the family. The family is really the greater whole, and that's also being redefined in the whole same-sex marriage debate. Essential to a strong family from a Christian perspective, of course, is its time gathered around the Word of God. That happens on Sunday morning. It also happens every day in our individual vocations. We have a devotional resource for you and your family. It's the Issues Etc., Book of the Month for January, titled Visitation. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. You can look for the cover of Visitation at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc., Book of the Month for January, called Visitation. Nicolette is listening in New Orleans on WSHO. Hi, Nicolette.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
I'm calling in. I'm an ex-homosexual. I guess you can say I'm over the rainbow. It's been about 3 years. I've been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost and all. And I can be the first one to tell you and any other listeners that it is a choice. You know, I grew up in a home that I guess I can kind of refer to my mother as Claire Huxtable. It was morals and morals and morals. And like your previous caller said, even though your parents are born-again believers, doesn't mean that you are until you make that decision. Now, once I understood that homosexuality was wrong, I then made a choice to do what I wanted to do. Now, on the subject of the same-sex marriage, it's more spiritual than it is political. It's more of an attack to pretty much disembody the marriage between Christ and his bride by disembodying the marriage between a man and a woman.
Interesting, because, Nicolette. Thank you very much, Nicolette. Let's talk a little bit about the... You said it before, you intimated this before, that the orientation is not supposed to be able to change. And if we legitimate same-sex marriage by legalizing it, we're only reinforcing this false notion that the orientation or the decision or the behavior can never, ever change. This is who I am. What do you think, Frank?
Well, of course, orientation can change because there are thousands of people who says it has changed, just like Nicolette said. So to say that desires can't change, I think, is really just against common sense and against the evidence. Of course, desires can change. But my main point is that desires, regardless of what they are, don't necessarily mean that the desires or the behavior that the desires are pointing you to is good. And it doesn't mean that we ought to have government endorsement of the behavior because you have a desire for it. I mean, do you have a? Does the government have to endorse something because you have a desire for it? That's really the question here. Even if we say that people are born that way, that doesn't mean the government has to give people the endorsement to engage in that behavior. The government does not have to endorse it and should not, because we all have desires we ought not act on. And I just want to point out here, Todd, that I'm guilty just like somebody who engages in homosexuality. I mean, I have desires I ought not act on, too. The difference here is that I don't want the government to endorse the behavior that my desires point to. The homosexual people do, and I'm saying that's wrong and we ought not allow it.
So just as a basic principle of how we govern ourselves and why we write laws or why we prohibit certain behaviors, the essential issue here is just because I want to doesn't mean that I should be allowed to.
Well, it doesn't mean you should be allowed to, but maybe it does. I mean, we have to look at the issue on a case-by-case basis.
Doesn't necessarily mean
And it doesn't necessarily mean the government has to endorse it.
Mike's listening in Kansas City. Mike, thanks for being patient.
Yeah, good evening, Pastor Todd, and I appreciate your guest's expertise in this area, and I wish people listening would consider supporting Issues, Etc. from the Reformation Club. It's a great resource. The question I had to do with the CDC and how they report their statistics. A number of years ago, I wrote a paper on this topic, and on the CDC, I was able to get, by downloading their PDF files, I was able to get statistics on frequency of STDs, average number of sexual partners in a lifetime, and sexual orientation. And they had a whole gamut of statistics you could get that would be related to those three things. And by the way, for your other caller that called in, the average number of sexual partners for the homosexual was about 100 in a lifetime, where the heterosexual was about 10. And that was directly related to the frequency of STDs. But here more recently, I've tried to get the same stats on the CDC website, and I can't seem to hardly get any that are related to sexual orientation. And I was wondering if maybe the homosexual lobby is affecting that.
That's interesting. That goes along with a lot of other changes in reporting as well, Frank.
I think that's the case. In fact, a guy that the homosexual community hates, a guy by the name of Paul Cameron, who runs the Family Research Institute out of Colorado Springs, had a paper recently talking about how the government has essentially hidden some of the negative effects of homosexuality. You can go to his website. I think it might be familyresearchinstitute.org and check that out. But I think, yeah, there is some of that going on out there. The government is unfortunately infected with political correctness as well. And as I said before, I'd rather be correct than politically correct.
You know,
we're not helping anybody by saying that it's healthier than it really is. We're not helping the general public, and we're not helping folks who want to engage in homosexuality. In fact, there's a recent story just came out last week about this incredible bug, this staph infection that is being transmitted among homosexual men. I saw an article on it. It was just, in fact, it was even on the Drudge Report last week, and how it's affecting homosexual men, particularly in San Francisco.
If the first case you made had to do with the health of the individual homosexual and then, of course, the prevalence of the diseases that are associated with homosexuality. And someone says, well, as long as it stays within the homosexual circle.
No, that's not good either. As you mentioned before, Todd, you rightly pointed out that everybody's our neighbor and we ought to look out for the best. for our neighbor, even if they want the opposite. Now, let me point one other thing out here, Todd. Even if we are completely wrong about the health of homosexuals, even if homosexuals live just as long as heterosexuals, and there are no health detriments to engaging in homosexuality, we know that's not true, but even if it was, that would not be an argument for same-sex marriage. It would still be an argument against same-sex marriage, because if you, again, put same-sex marriage at the same level as traditional marriage, you're essentially saying that marriage has nothing to do with childbearing. And if marriage has nothing to do with childbearing, illegitimacy goes up, and all of the problems associated with illegitimacy infect society, and our country is much weaker.
We're talking with Frank Turek. He's founder and president of crossexamine.org, co-author of the book Legislating Morality, author of an article in the Christian Research Journal titled Protecting America's Immune System, A Reasonable Argument Against Homosexual Marriage. You can read it on the web at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section. You'll find it there, issuesetc.org. With only about 30 seconds before we go to this break, is it also true that the psychiatric community has radically shifted its assessment of homosexuality as a behavior and what they used to consider a condition?
Yes, they did. And one of the champions of changing the status of homosexuality in the eyes of the psychiatric community was a man by the name of Spitzer. I think his name was Robert Spitzer. I'm looking for it right now. I don't want to quote him improperly, but recently he came out just in 2003 with a study. And oh, by the way, he was hailed as a hero among the homosexuals because he basically got them legitimized among the psychiatric community. But recently he came out and he actually said that there are people who do change their sexual orientation. Well, how do you think the homosexual community dealt with that, Todd?
What was the reaction?
They suddenly vilified Spitzer. After him being their hero back in 1973, in 2003, he says, I've done some more studies, and I've realized that people can change their orientation with a lot of work. They can do it. Now he suddenly sold out to the other side, and he's viewed as a villain.
Frank Turek is our guest. We're talking about same-sex marriage. We'll take more of your phone calls and your email on the other side of this break. 1-800-730-2727. issuesetc@kfuo.org. 1-800-730-2727, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Arthur Just on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
We believe that people come to faith by hearing the Word of God, and that the Spirit works through that Word. The heart of the proclamation of that Word is the pastoral office. The study for the office of the public ministry is one of the great vocations that a man can consider in helping others to be joined to Christ, to be in communion with Him.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, and Concordia Seminary, St. Louis are preparing Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century. For more information, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and find out about Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, serving church and world, and Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, preparing servants in Jesus Christ. issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again, talking with Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, about the world's AIDS crisis. Matt, talk about how the AIDS crisis especially affects children.
Nearly 20% of AIDS deaths are children. Children who, through absolutely no ethical or moral fault of their own, have this curse upon them. And these are children where it's very easy to look upon them in pictures and say, well, they are those children. But then you meet them, each one of them, and you hear each one's name. And you talk to them about where they go to church and what they dream about and what they would like to have in their little lives. Something as simple as a chair, let alone a toy or a bed or somebody who loves them. and you can't but respond.
How is LCMS World Relief and the many who support it, how are they responding to this crisis?
Traditionally, we've done most of the response by way of education. That is, we've provided resources to our partners, many in Africa, but also AIDS in Thailand becomes a real is becoming an extreme challenge, and also in Russia, providing dollars so that pastors, church workers, health workers can be trained on AIDS. So education is very important, and we believe education is really key within a strong Lutheran context of law and gospel, and one that has a proper understanding of sexuality as God's gift, and the blessings that God gives us there, and the blessings of faithfulness and monogamy. So that has been important. We have, in the last several years, been very active with several orphanages in Kenya, and that has been just a wonderful joy. We just finished building a brand new orphanage that houses about 60 children. It's amazing. For about $30,000, we were able to build a complete orphanage. We just added to the Matongo Orphanage in western Kenya an entire medical clinic for really very little money comparatively. And we're increasingly going in this direction, providing resources for congregations in Africa so they can deal with their own HIV/AIDS orphans.
LCMS World Relief offers Christ-centered, cross-focused help to victims of the world's AIDS crisis. For more information about LCMS World Relief, find them at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call them toll-free 1-888-930-4438. LCMS World Relief, concerned for both body and soul. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Frank Turk is our guest. We're talking about same-sex marriage. To Springfield, Illinois, we're listening on KSIV. We find Ann. Ann, welcome.
Oh, thank you. This has been such a terrific program. I'm a retired public aid caseworker, otherwise known as the Department of Human Services now, and I had lunch with a disability claims adjudicator a couple of days ago, and I am just amazed at the increase in numbers of these HIV/AIDS people who are now considering themselves disabled, and they are receiving all kinds of money, especially for their medications, and those medications aren't cheap, and they're on this stuff until they die. And I was just appalled. The taxpayers get upset about, you know, paying for illegitimate children for 3 or 4 years, but this is going to last an awfully long time, and it is lasting, and I have had them in my caseload, and by the way, monogamous to them usually means about a year. It's been my experience anyway, and the effect it has on the children is absolutely hideous. I spent several years in a state reformatory working with children who had been adjudicated delinquent, and without exception, the children were terribly embarrassed when they were interviewed about the status of their parents, if they had parents of the same sex living with them at that point. And these kids were, they had been arrested for armed robbery, assault, and the whole nine yards, but they were just terribly embarrassed and very seriously affected by the behavior of their same-sex parents, usually two women. And I lived in Chicago for a long time, and the last time I talked to a Chicago police officer, he was saying that the runaways there have decreased tremendously in the past 10, 15 years, because if anyone even looks like a runaway on a street corner, a gay or homosexual person scoops them up, and they are never seen again.
All right, Anne, thank you very much. She's laid out a pretty bleak picture from the perspective of a kind of a public health care worker. Your thoughts there, Frank?
Yeah, well, I'm glad that there are good people like her trying to help with that bleak situation. I want to point out that she mentioned illegitimate children. I like to say there are no illegitimate children. There are just illegitimate parents. We got to do whatever we can to try and help children who are born of out of wedlock or are in a situation which is not of their doing, and to try and help them as best we can. And one of the best ways we can do that is to affirm traditional marriage, strengthen marriage laws, and make sure that same-sex relationships are in no way equated either by same-sex marriage or by civil unions with traditional marriage.
She talked about the cost and perhaps the unknown cost of people who have contracted HIV/AIDS via homosexual behavior, and now, although their lives might be shortened, are living on extremely expensive drugs. And we do want to help them stay alive. Extremely expensive drugs at taxpayer expense to some degree.
Yes, they are. And let me point out that according to the CDC, Center for Disease Control, 89.9% of all AIDS cases that are transmitted sexually are transmitted via homosexual contact.
That is not the picture that you get when you watch public service announcements or any of the other things out there.
No, I'm talking about in the United States, of course. But, you know, 9 out of 10, essentially, of AIDS cases that are transmitted sexually are transmitted through mostly male-on-male sexual contact.
Daniel's listening in Oklahoma City on KQCV. Thanks for waiting, Daniel.
Yeah, thank you, Todd. I have a question for Frank. Obviously, I believe I share the same belief with him. But my question is, in a free society like ours, how do we deal with the issue of homosexuality, knowing that knowledge alone is not sufficient, and then we have some states that are passing laws? So how do we deal with this issue?
It's an excellent question, Daniel. Thank you very much. We've talked a lot about what we shouldn't be doing, the direction we shouldn't be going. What should we do in a free society with homosexuality?
Well, when it comes to the political solution, is we need to be involved politically, and we need to use reasonable arguments with people rather than throw the Bible at them, because they are going to dismiss the Bible, rightly or wrongly, I think, of course, wrongly, but they're going to dismiss it based on the separation of church and state objection. And you don't need the Bible to make the case against same-sex marriage. All you need is good reasons. And as I mentioned, a couple questions you might ask, the questions that I mentioned before. If everybody lived faithfully in traditional marriage, what would be the effect on society? It would be wonderful. If everybody lived faithfully in same-sex marriage, what would be the effect on society? It would be the end of society. That should tell us something about whether or not we ought to equate the two relationships.
Let's talk about Lawrence v. Texas. You called it the Roe v. Wade of the homosexual activist community. Why so? Tell us about the case. Refresh our memories, if you would.
Well, the case was a setup where two homosexual men were found because they wanted to be found by Texas police, and they essentially took their case to the courts, and ultimately made it to the Supreme Court. And Justice Antonin Scalia, in his dissent of the Lawrence v. Texas case, said this will lead to same-sex marriage, because you're basically saying that the states can no longer have laws against same-sex behavior, against sodomy. And essentially, this is going to ultimately lead to same-sex marriage. And he's probably right, unless we do something about it. Now, federally, there's a Defense of Marriage Act. Even President Clinton signed that back in 1996. But you only need a court to overturn an act of Congress, which is what the Defense of Marriage Act was. So the only real solution to this problem is to have a federal amendment which says marriage should only be between a man and a woman. The problem is, you know, it doesn't look like we have the political will to get that passed right now, which means the courts are really in control. A state court, like the state court in Massachusetts, could possibly overturn the will of the people in all 50 states through the full faith and credit clause of the United States Constitution. In other words, some state like Massachusetts judicially could impose same-sex marriage like they did. And a lawsuit could get up to the Supreme Court, and if the Supreme Court says you need to recognize that marriage from Massachusetts because of the full faith and credit clause of the United States Constitution, then every other state will have to recognize it. In effect, four unelected justices in black robes in a state Supreme Court could overturn the will of the people, the 300 million other people in the United States, by judicial fiat. Now, that's called tyranny, if I'm not mistaken. We have this oligarchy ruling because the people won't stand up and make a stand.
Okay, I want you to back up a second and walk us through that one more time, because this was my biggest concern after Lawrence v. Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And that had to do with the full, and after Massachusetts and other states started to legitimate same-sex marriage.
Right.
The full faith and credit clause of the Constitution, what does it say vis-a-vis marriage, and why, as you have just made the case, Could it possibly be the way that one state could, through the vehicle of the Supreme Court, actually make same-sex marriage universal in all 50 states?
Well, we don't know what it will do. We know what it could do. It's essentially saying that a relationship in one state needs to be recognized as the same relationship in another state. And so a Massachusetts Supreme Court could, as it has, legitimized same-sex marriage in Massachusetts. If someone brought a case to the Supreme Court, or a case federally that ultimately made it to the Supreme Court of the United States, saying that my same-sex relationship needs to be recognized in, say, Arizona because of the full faith and credit clause, because I got married in Massachusetts, now Arizona needs to recognize it. If the United States Supreme Court says, because of the full faith and credit clause in the United States Constitution, yes, Arizona, you need to recognize the Massachusetts Supreme Court or Utah or any other state, it's over. I mean, basically, every state needs to recognize marriage because Massachusetts decided that same-sex couples have the same legal rights as heterosexual couples. Now, that is judicial tyranny.
What is there, or what could there be, to prevent that from taking place?
An amendment to the United States Constitution. Now, the problem with that is you could make a crystal clear amendment, and they could still ignore that. You know, the real solution, Todd, is to get the right people in government who have the right view of the Constitution. It's not a living, breathing document. It is made. It's in place. If you want to amend it, you use the amendment process. You don't have the court decide what it says. The legislature decides what the law is. The court simply applies it to specific cases. If they go out of bounds, you know what ought to happen? Those judges ought to be impeached. We need a president like Andrew Jackson, who years ago, when the Supreme Court did something he didn't like, said, hey, tell the court or ask the court what army they're going to get to enforce that ruling, because I'm not obeying it. That's what we need. We need somebody to stand. Now, I know, I realize why presidents don't want to do that, because they don't want a constitutional crisis. But the Constitution was never written to allow a court to decide what is or isn't constitutional. That was the court gave itself that right in Marbury versus Madison back in 1803. They just said, we're going to be the arbiters of the Constitution. And since that time, we've let them do it.
Paul in Milwaukee, and we'll get to a response on the other side of the break, listens on WRRD, and he writes this via email. The guest's caution about the future of U.S. public homosexuality is commendable, but keeping recent trends in mind, could he lay out 2-3 reasonable scenarios of its development and acceptance by, say, 2028, or suggest what can be done to move the country, or, importantly, the law, back to a more God-pleasing posture? Edmund Burke once said, writes Paul, the only way for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. We'll get Frank's response to Paul in Milwaukee on the other side of this break. And we've got 10 minutes left with Frank Turek, founder and president of CrossExamine.org, co-author of the book Legislating Morality, and author of the article in the Christian Research Journal titled Protecting America's Immune System, A Reasonable Argument Against Homosexual Marriage. 1-800-730-2727. Still plenty of time to take your phone calls or your email issuesetc@kfuo.org.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours weekdays on the Internet? Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen Online, and you'll find 12 new hours Monday through Friday. You can listen live on your PC, or on demand, or on your iPod or MP3 player. issuesetc.org, and tune in weekdays to 12 new hours of Issues Etc.
Have you ever experienced that awkward, speechless moment, not knowing what to say to the suffering, infirm, or dying? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is titled Visitation. It's a book of bedside devotions, hymns, prayers, and Bible passages. For more information, you can call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or look for the cover of Visitation on our homepage, issuesetc.org. Visitation, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month, for January.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And our new level, the patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by credit card, our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back. 10 more minutes with Frank Turek on same-sex marriage. Paul from Milwaukee emails us. He's got two basic questions. We laid out before the break one of the scenarios by which homosexual marriage might become a legal reality in the United States. You talked about one state's decision being judicially imposed. Paul wants to know if there's any other scenarios by which it would happen. That's his first question, Frank.
Well, yeah, it could happen. It could happen through the legislature. In fact, the California legislature, I think, passed a same-sex marriage, and Schwarzenegger actually rejected it because in the year 2000 or 2001, by referendum, the state rejected same-sex marriage. So it could happen judicially. I mean, it could happen legislatively. The reason it will happen if we don't do anything is because people buy into the false arguments that the homosexual movement is very good at making. You know, the equal rights argument, the discrimination argument, the arguments we've already dealt with. You know, the argument related to we're born this way and all this. And Americans are compassionate people. They say, oh, they're born that way. Oh, we ought to give them the same rights as everybody else and all this. Never realizing that by doing that, they're dragging down our immune system, which is traditional marriage, to the point that our entire country will be degraded.
The other question that Paul had, really, you know, I've been fiddling with my computer over the weekend, and I've been installing drivers in for the various parts of this computer, and sometimes you install a program like that, and you realize, oops, that doesn't work with the rest of, work and play well with the rest of the computer. You got to roll the driver back. You know, go back to the previous version. Is
sure.
there any way of doing this with the laws that have been inching us toward the acceptance of same-sex marriage?
Well, the best bet is to do the constitutional amendment, and that's going to take a lot of political work by people who realize how important marriage is for us. And if it can't be done at the federal level, many states have already done it. There's been, I can't remember how many states, I want to say it's somewhere in the high 30s that have passed laws to protect traditional marriage. The problem is that if they get, if the homosexual movement gets its Roe v. Wade at the Supreme Court level, not just for sodomy, but for same-sex marriage, the scenario we talked about before the break, then it will nullify all those state laws. That's why the federal law is the most important one to try and work toward.
How, I know what things are like now on the ground because we're in the middle of a presidential debate and a campaign. Where do you see this going depending on who sits in the White House?
Well, the problem is if a Democrat gets in the White House, he or she will probably sign the first step toward it will be the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which really goes to the point of saying that, as I mentioned before, I blog on this on crossexamine.org, you can either have hate crimes laws or you can have free speech, but you can't have both. Now, I want to point out that all crimes are hate crimes. So hate crimes laws are really giving disproportionate protection to a certain group of people against another group of people. I mean, why would you punish somebody who beats up a homosexual more so than someone who beats up your grandmother? Both crimes are terrible, and both crimes ought to be treated equally. What hate crimes laws do is they not only punish somebody for doing a crime to a particular individual more so than another individual, but it actually punishes the thoughts the person has rather than the behavior they have. Talk about Brave New World here and Big Brother.
The conversation we've been having tonight You mentioned before Canada has really cracked down on public expression regarding homosexuality.
Not just homosexuality, but even Islam.
But focusing on homosexuality,
yeah.
The conversation we've had tonight, would it run afoul of Canada's rules on speech and hate speech?
What we're talking about tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, it could. There could be somebody. And it's Sweden's the same way. There's been a pastor there who's actually been jailed for 30 days because he preached against homosexuality. Now, the connection here is that if you preach against homosexuality or talk about it in any negative way, even if what you're saying is true, and hopefully what I've been saying here is true, don't believe me, go check out the facts for yourself. You can go to impactapologetics.com and download this entire paper I'm talking about. Go check it out for yourself. Even if what we're saying is true, if somebody out there gets the idea, based upon what we're saying here, that they ought to go beat up some homosexual, then I, or a pastor who preaches against it, could be liable criminally. Do you see where this is going?
Yeah.
And that's where it's happening right now, Todd, in Sweden. It's happening in Canada. You cannot have these types of laws which criminalize thought and still have free speech. You can't do it.
You've talked about this several times, and as our time winds down, I want you to explain, taking as much time as you think you need, when you call traditional marriage and the family that goes along with it our society's immune system, again, mm-hmm. What exactly do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that our laws, which protect marriage and keep traditional marriage in a privileged place, protect our immune system, because nationally our immune system is traditional marriage. Traditional marriage helps domesticate men. It helps protect women against men who are uncommittal. It helps provide a nurturing environment for children, which means that illegitimacy is reduced, crime is reduced, poverty is reduced, welfare is reduced because of traditional marriage. In other words, when you have strong traditional marriages, you have a very healthy society. That's why marriage is our national immune system. Now, even if we're wrong about all these arguments that same-sex relationships are unhealthy, I don't think we are. I think the evidence is very good. But even if we're wrong, equating same-sex relationships to traditional marriage relationships breaks the connection between marriage and childbearing, and therefore you have people who say, well, look, if marriage is just about coupling, then there's really no reason to get married to have children. And what happens then is you have much higher rates of illegitimacy because unmarried couples don't stay together as long as traditional married couples, and you have then higher welfare, higher crime, higher poverty, and all the ills that come from illegitimacy.
Someone looks at this and it is a domino effect
sure
that you've talked about, but the dominoes are so close together.
Yes.
It's not difficult to see this already occurring. How many dominoes have fallen? How far have we gone, and are we past the point of no return?
Well,
about 30
seconds. I hope we haven't past the point of no return, but you don't need to just kind of prophesy about what's going to happen here. You can go to Norway, where they've had same-sex marriage, de facto same-sex marriage since 1993, and now across the nation, half of all children are born out of wedlock. In the most liberal counties in Norway, it's 70%. Why? Because marriage is no longer seen as relevant to childbearing. It's outdated. Why? Because marriage is now just about coupling. If same-sex couples can get married, why? What does marriage have to do with childbearing? Nothing. So there's no reason for heterosexuals to get married to have children. They have children anyway, and then you have all those issues I just mentioned.
Then with 30 seconds, and finally, make the case, why is traditional marriage better for society than same-sex marriage?
It's better because, again, it protects women, and it provides a nurturing environment for children. It's more healthy. It reduces illegitimacy, crime, poverty, and welfare. You can leave religion off the table in this discussion and just point out the facts. Traditional marriage is our national immune system. If you want to read more about this, go to impactapologetics.com. and download the free paper on this, or you can go and see our blog at crossexamined, that's with a D, crossexamined.org.
1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free copy of the Next Issues Etc. journal. You can also use that number to join our monthly or annual donor program, We call it the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, 1-800-737-0172. You can also sign up online, issuesetc.org, or you can always write us, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Frank Turek is founder and president of crossexamined.org. He's co-author of the book Legislating Morality and author of the article in the Christian Research Journal titled Protecting America's Immune System, A Reasonable Argument Against Homosexual Marriage. Frank, thank you so much for being our guest.
Well, thank you very much, Todd, and go Giants.
All right. Do we care for our society's direction? Of course we do. But not because, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with patriotism, but it doesn't have a lot to do with where America has been and what a great nation, how far we have fallen. It again comes back to think about the neighbors that we've talked about in the course of this conversation. The case that Frank made near the end of our conversation there about women and about men and about children. You know, I don't know who you are, where you live, or what you do, but you're one of those, aren't you? You're a man, you're a woman, you're a child. And surrounding you in our society, we don't have the luxury of choosing the society, the time, or the direction of that society in which we live. God puts us as Christians here to serve our neighbor in exactly the circumstances we find ourselves in. We can live in the past if we want to, but we won't be serving our neighbor. To serve our neighbor means we have to live where our neighbor lives, right here in the present. And our concern about the future of this country has less to do with the flag and where America has been or how far it's fallen than with our neighbor here and now and today and tomorrow and what is best for him in this society. Is it a perfect world? Can we create a perfect world by having perfect marriages or families? No. It's not the goal. The goal is simply to serve our neighbor in love in Christ's name. That's why we're still here. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.